Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. I am Steve Allen, and I am here because Pastor Mike called me and said that he is recovering from the coronavirus. So he sounded much better this week when I talked to him than last week. And we're just continuing in prayer for him. He should be back very soon. And today, I am delighted to be able to stand here and to worship with each of you. And I'm going to ask if you'll go to our Father in prayer with me right away. Today, Lord Jesus, we are glad to be the people of God. We're glad to be able to come and to worship you together so that you can mold us and form us into the people that you intend for us to be. You said in John 15, "Abide in me as I abide in you, because apart from me, you can do nothing." And today, Lord Jesus, we're here because just that fact, apart from you, we can do nothing. God, a lot of times we like to think that we can do everything, we can do anything. But the fact is, apart from our Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. Today, as we worship and as we praise you and as we pray for those whom we know and love, Lord, we pray that we come to a better understanding that apart from you, we can do nothing. But with you, all things are possible. Today, we give you our hearts, our souls, our mind, and our strength, because we know that through you, all things are possible. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome, everyone, to River Sills Baptist Church. I have to think when I say, don't say Berean anymore, but I've done that for years and years, so kind of stuck in my head. But good to have you with us this morning. And in the way of announcements, I have one announcement here given to me by Crystal. It says, today at the Tyson Activity Center, there is a cornhole tournament from 12:30 to 2 for a senior project. There are many nice gifts you can bid on in a silent auction. All proceeds go to the Turner Tucker and family and for Emily Matthews scholarship. So remember that from 12:30 to 2, if you haven't had time to go have dinner before you can go over there and join in with the fun there. And of course, a good charity project. And that's all the announcements except what's in the bulletin. And they've been on the screen for a while we've been in here, and you can look for yourself and see that. But I have one other. Lily has an announcement. Oh, there she is.
Good morning. My name is Lily Welch, and I'm here with Haley Mills. She's not here at the moment. We are seniors at South Ripley High School, and as seniors, we've chosen our Pay It Forward project to be a back-to-school dance with all funds going to Olivia Douglas and her family. Olivia is an 18-year-old who has many life-altering medical conditions that have affected her since the day she was born. A lot of you know she missed all of this past school year because she has been in and out of both Riley and Cincinnati Children's Hospitals multiple times. Olivia has had many tests run this past year, and several of them have been rare tests that take a long time to receive results. For several months, she has had to be taken in twice a week to a hospital to receive electric shock treatments. And recently, we found out that Olivia has no B cells, which means she has no immune system. So she's had to have infusions done. With the numerous medical conditions, tests, treatments, and procedures, and hospital visits, we want to ensure her family can keep up with all the medical bills and expenses from traveling back and forth to the hospitals. We got approval last spring for our project, but have started from scratch. Our theme for the dance is going to be underwater, taking the theme from Olivia's love of SpongeBob. In order for our dance to be successful and give Olivia and her family relief, we ask for donations, whether it be snacks like Little Debbie cakes or a pack of canned pop for concessions, or decorations for the dance, or donations to our cause. We appreciate all. If you would like to donate directly to Olivia, checks can be written out to the Olivia Douglas family. We thank you all for your time, and the deadline for donations is in 2 weeks on the 21st. Please give your donations to either me or Haley when you see us, or leave it at the church office. We'll pick them up. You're welcome to contact us about any time about any questions. Thank you.
Now we have the reading of scriptures.
Turn this on. There you go. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Yes, ma'am. And now if you'll stand with me once again, we are going to sing hymn number 271, Standing on the Promises, the first and the fourth verse, if you're looking in the hymnal.
It's time for our prayer, praise, and request here. I have we look at the back of our bulletin, and there's, if you need to pray for somebody, go to the back of the bulletin. There's plenty of people. That'll keep us busy praying during the week. We look at the bulletin in the back, and many different people to pray for in different situations, and that'd be good. Let's try to do that each during the week, sometime during the week at prayer time. Just look at these and remember them in prayer. I'm sure they'll appreciate it. And praying for them. And then we have one praise here. Thanks to Pastor Ed Roberts, who filled in last Sunday and did a good job. I enjoyed the sermon and appreciated it. So I have a praise here. Donna Hughes, who is the pastor of Mitch Farrell's mother-in-law, was able to spend 9 hours out of the nursing home with her family yesterday. It has been 11 months since she has been home, and praise the Lord for that. Do we have any more prayer request?
Well, I have a prayer.
Oh, good.
My son-in-law, Nate, finished his radiation treatments on Friday, and preliminary tests show that the tumor is shrinking. It's in a lymph node in his back, and he'll have some more tests a little bit further down the road. But thank you so very much for your prayers, and God is working.
Okay. Any more praises? Glad to have you, brother.
And I just know that we need to pray for this country, pray for the whole world. They do need God. And I was willing to share while we were over there, and I give him thanks for that. So there are praises that are being sent up, and prayers that are being answered.
Yeah. You didn't click your heels together to get back, did you?
I did all the way across that phone.
Okay. Anyone else have a praise? This one. No one. So the prayer request. Anyone have a prayer request? I just gave you a bunch of them. Does anyone have any more prayer requests? No, that's good. But I just. People everywhere needs our prayer all the time. Yeah, so let's bow our head and go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for this time, this opportunity, this privilege we have to come to thy house, Lord, today, that we might worship thee in spirit and truth as thou hast taught us. And so far, Lord, without fear of persecution from outside. And Lord, we thank you for those that are out this day, that you just... bless them for their attendance, and bless them, Lord, with thy word as it is being preached. And Lord, in the Sunday school, Lord, bless that. And Lord, just we pray, Lord, for many that are sick, that are among us, and we've heard some, and we see it on our bulletin, that you just be with them, to bless them and comfort them. And Lord, just you heal them, Lord, if it, from their diseases. And Lord, we pray for those that are called on the morning. Lord, we thank for Brother Matthews. Lord, you just bless his family and comfort them this time of mourning. And Lord, just we pray that you go with us, Lord, in this service. Bless, Lord, thy word as it is proclaimed to us. And Lord, help us to listen with intended heart. And Lord, we might apply that to our life and might be better servants of thee when we leave this place. And just go with us the remainder of the service, and we'll give you the praise for asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation, it's beautiful. I've got a heart that's overflowing. I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. When the valleys that I wander turn to mountains that I can climb, you are with me, never leave me. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation, it's beautiful. I've got a heart that's overflowing, it's been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, 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 oh. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, 'cause it's all you'll ever need, all you'll ever need. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, 'cause it's all you'll ever need, it's all you'll ever need. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation, it's beautiful. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart that's overflowing. I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Before you start, we need to add one more prayer. School starts at South Berkeley this week, and it's been delayed a week, but I just thought we need to add that to our prayers for all the teachers and the kids starting this week.
And I sang a song about joy. That means I'm happy for year 36.
We have any kids? They're downstairs.
Okay.
Well, I am excited to be here with you. I have some reasons that I'm excited that I want to share with you why it is such an honor to be here to preach and to worship with you. I want you to know that some of you may know me, but I want you to know that God is still teaching me. God is still challenging me, and God is still shaping me. And I pray that this teaching and challenging and shaping is going on in your life as well today. I'm hardly the same guy I was upon coming to Versailles for the first time back in 1989. Why in the world would a boy from Tennessee come to Versailles, Indiana? That's a great question. Well, I was in seminary at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. I started there in 1988. And in 1989, a young lady who had grown up in this church named Debbie White began attending Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And the guys on my floor, many of them were from Virginia, and we lived in dormitories. And the ladies in Debbie's dormitory, many of them were from West Virginia. So we would get together and go out to eat at Poe Folks or somewhere where we could afford. And through these dinners and time together, I developed a strong love for Debbie White. I didn't tell her at first. I kind of played it cool. In fact, we did date, but it took a while before I asked her, the big question, well, could we be exclusive? And she agreed. And that is something that I will never figure out why. It's always something that I'll just have to scratch my head and say, wow, just it's God's grace, right? It's God's grace. Well, in one of our earliest dates, along with a couple of friends, Debbie and I attended my first Big Ten basketball game in alumni or an assembly hall in Bloomington. I'd never seen a Big Ten basketball game. I'm from the South. I was all Southeastern Conference. I didn't know there was a Big Ten. I'd never been across the Ohio River. And then back in the days of Bobby Knight, any of you remember Bobby Knight? Yeah. And so on our way back from Bloomington, we took a detour and came through Versailles. And Debbie was very proud of her hometown. She was proud of the church that she had come to know Jesus Christ through. And she was proud of the people here. And she's proud of you folks today. Well, the following summer, after we had dated just a few months, I took it upon myself to come and to talk to Bob and Leola White, to tell them of my intentions of marrying their daughter. And I came into Versailles, and I pulled into their driveway, and Debbie and I were gonna serve a week at Southeastern Baptist Youth Camp. So before we left for the week of camp, I told Bob and Leola that I had intentions of marrying their daughter. And they said, when are you gonna do this? And I said, well, we're poor, we're in school. I said, within a year, I'd like to marry your daughter. So everything went well. Bob didn't hit me, Lee didn't cry. And so we went off to Southeastern Baptist Youth Camp, and we came back at the end of the week, and Bob and Lee were there at the door, and they said, we've been thinking, we go to Florida every winter. Would you like to get married before we leave for Florida this fall? And of course, Debbie and I looked at each other and said, you got it, it's on. So it moved our wedding date up to September 1st, 1990, and unbelievably, she's been with me, and I've been with her ever since. So that is part of my story with Versailles Baptist Church, and I am so grateful for each of you. Harold and Imogene Carter were here at that time, and Harold was finishing up his time as pastor here, and he married us on September 1st, 1990, in Alumni Chapel at Southern Seminary. And but I'm hardly the same guy that I was in 1990, and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. I'm more grateful than I was back then. I'm more generous than I was back then. And I'm a little bit more wise than I was back then. And of course, that's my opinion. Some others may not agree with that. But I'm incredibly more blessed by God because of Versailles Baptist Church and the impact you've had on my wife, Debbie. So thank you, Versailles Baptist Church. And in reading Versailles Baptist Church history over the weekend, I learned about a time when Versailles Baptist Church and Osgood First Baptist Church served as one church. There's been some times when Versailles and Osgood worked together. I'm just finishing up a 14-year time as pastor of Versailles, or Osgood First Baptist Church, and beginning my time as region minister for American Baptist Churches of Indiana, Kentucky, for the central region of Indiana, from Ohio, Kentucky, all the way to Illinois, 98 churches in that region, almost 300 churches of American Baptist churches in Indiana, Kentucky, and I am at the front end of this. I am a little bit nervous, a little bit overwhelmed, because I don't know what I'm going to be getting into over the next number of years, working with almost 300 churches, but I am convinced that God is with this church, American Baptist Churches of Indiana, Kentucky, because in my life to this point, God has always proven himself to be faithful to us. And I'm looking forward with great expectations at this new beginning in my life and in the life of my family. It's my great challenge this morning to say the right things to you today in order to communicate my appreciation for you in a way that moves you to accept the challenge of God's new beginning for you and for me, the people of God, in 2022. I'm going to be reading from God's word through the psalmist who wrote Psalm 126 to do this. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it to Psalm 126. It's a short psalm. It is only 6 verses long. I believe Psalm 126 will show us that we can face life's turning points, life's changes and transitions with confidence, that the Lord, who has intervened in the past, is able to intervene in the present and will even be with us in the future. And that gives me hope, and I hope it gives you hope today as well. The message of Psalm 126 is that God created Versailles Baptist Church. Are you kidding me? You may be saying, Steve, Psalm 126 was written many, many years ago. How could it be the message of Psalm 126 that God created Versailles Baptist Church, the place in which I'm sitting this morning? Well, we'll get there. Through 193 years, Versailles Baptist Church has been faithful, and God has restored Versailles Baptist Church a number of times through those years. I mentioned earlier that I was reading a history of Versailles Baptist Church on the internet a couple of days ago, and I learned that Versailles Baptist Church was disbanded in 1862 due to the Civil War. How many of you knew that? Did I read the wrong page? No. And not only was Versailles Baptist Church disbanded in 1862, Versailles was without a Baptist church for almost 20 years. But God saw to it that folks around here were inspired to begin again with the Baptist witness to the surrounding area, to Versailles and to this part of Ripley County. And it is my prayer that you today will realize and will understand that God will continue to bring restoration to those people who hope in him. Hope is a very strong thing. In the New Testament, we're told that these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And of course, Paul says the greatest of these is love, but don't let that take away from faith and hope. Faith and hope are very strong things, but the greatest, of course, is love. But today we need hope. Psalm 126 is a psalm that was sung by Jewish pilgrims as they traveled to Jerusalem for the holy feast. And today, Psalm 126 can speak to you and it can speak to me of the Lord intervening for his people, for the Lord turning things around where we are right now in 2022. If you will, let's read Psalm 126 verses 1 through 3 together. Pay attention. Psalm 126, 1. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Let's get some perspective on this psalm, these first three verses. These verses focus on the sovereign and the gracious acts of God, who loved Israel, and God loves you today. What we must see here is that the Lord restored, the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion. And that's what this psalm is all about. It's thanksgiving for a return from captivity. How many of you feel captivated, feel pinned up, feel like you cannot express your religion, your love for the Lord? You know, these are trying times in 2022. And the church is in a massive struggle. What we must see is that the Lord has restored his people in the past, and the Lord will restore his people today, and he will restore his people in the future. The emphasis on Psalm 126 is not on what happened. Get this, it's not on what happened or when it happened, but the emphasis of Psalm 126 is upon who did the restoration. Who did the restoration? The Lord, verse 1 of chapter 126 says, the Lord brought back the captive. The Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. It wasn't the result of kings or of rulers. It wasn't the result of heroic acts of faithful soldiers. And it wasn't even the devotion of God's people to him that brought the restoration. Get that. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. The Lord brought restoration. And the same is true for Vercells Baptist Church. The same is true for every church in this county, for every church in America, for every church across the globe. The Lord will bless. And it's the Lord's blessings that we want to enjoy. It's the Lord's blessings that we want to focus our lives upon. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. I am the third of three children born to Arlen and Clarice Allen. I was born in a small town in East Tennessee, Newport, Tennessee, on the banks of the French Broad River. I am the last born, and often I feel like I get preferential treatment because I was in the house when my brother and sister had already left. So I got to spend a lot of time with my mom. And I sometimes get the feeling that my brother and sister think that I'm special. Or they think that I think that I'm special. That's what the truth is. I am not special. And in fact, in my adult years, I have done everything I can to level the playing field with my brother and sister, letting them know that my parents love them probably more than they love me, because they were much less problem. But Psalm 115:1 says that it's not to us, O Lord, but to his name be glory. And maybe you are like me in dealing with this matter of glory.
Sometimes we want the glory, but the glory, according to Psalm 115, goes to God. And I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams to serve Christ with Debbie, who is a brilliant result of the love that God expressed through Versailles Baptist Church. And I'm humbled when I think about what God has done in my life. And I look ahead with great expectations for his family here in Versailles as I consider the good things that the Lord has done over the years. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 tells us this. Now, wrap your head around this. Peter tells us, but you, he's talking to Christians, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, that is a proclamation to all who have found the grace of God through Jesus Christ, who has given his life so that we can have salvation and life in him and through him. The Lord has done good things. And the Lord has done good things through Versailles Baptist Church, through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And you are now his body. And he has saved us from the penalty of sin, which is death, and eternal separation from the love of God. And Jesus has done it through grace, a marvelous word, grace, that he showed upon the cross, in which he gave his life for you and for me. And Jesus keeps doing good things for us and through us. So we've got to realize that we have to open our lives up to be used by Jesus. You know, in 1 Peter 2, when we realize that we are a people for God's own possession, the thing that we have to keep in mind is what follows. We're a people for God's own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness. We're not the people for God's own possession so that we can rest and get fat and take all of the credit. No, we are people who are called to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know about you, but I can remember times of darkness in my life. I don't like to think back on those times, but those times are real. And God has called me out of that darkness, and he has called you out, and every Christian he has called out of darkness. And we've got to remember and be grateful to him for doing such. The Lord has done great things, and he keeps on doing great things through his church. And if you're having trouble remembering these great things, Psalm 126:1 reminds us, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. How many of you remember your dreams from last night? Just a couple of us. I don't remember my dreams from last night. There was a time in my life where my dreams were vivid. I've had a couple of strokes, and I think that may have affected my ability to recall my dreams. I do still recall from time to time dreams, and I hang on to them with glee because I love dreaming. But in Psalm 126:1, the people of Zion said that the Lord brought back the captive ones, and we were like those who dream. Another way to say this is that the people of Zion were saying, the Lord turns our dreams into reality. That's basically what they were saying. The Lord has turned our dreams into reality. Not every dream, mind you, but we can dream some crazy stuff sometimes. There are some dreams I have that I just think, no, I want to forget that.
and I don't ever want to think of that again. But what was happening in Psalm 126 is that the people of God had prayed so hard, and the people of God had cried so many tears, and the people of God had waited so long for things to change, that when the Lord intervened, they couldn't believe it. It happened. God returned them from captivity. God blew their minds is what happened. Has God ever blown your mind with His grace? And you find yourself saying, I don't know how, God, but thank you. I hope you have. And I hope you have those experiences throughout your life. But I have to ask you this, can God still blow our minds today? Or are we too sophisticated? Would we let anybody know if God did blow our mind? Or would we be too proud or too embarrassed to say, listen, God just shook my world. God has blown my mind. And I can't say anything but thank you, God. Well, Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, the Lord provides far more abundantly than we ask or think. You've heard that verse before. The Lord provides far more abundantly than all we ask or think. And what this says is God isn't just, we're not just squeaking by as Christians, as the people of God. God provides far more abundantly than we can even ask or think. So today, Versailles Baptist Church, I'm begging you to ask and to think of what the Lord can provide for Versailles Baptist Church, because she is a part of the body of Christ. And when we ask or think, God provides far more abundantly than what we ask or think. The Lord can turn our sorrows into joy. Psalm 126, verse 2 says, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. And then pay attention here in verse 2 of chapter 126. It says, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Who said the Lord has done great things for them? The nations, the Gentiles, those people recognized that the Lord had done great things for Israel. Laughter, shouts of joy from the mouths of God's people. Really? Really? Laughter and shouts of joy? When was the last time we laughed with joy? When was the last time we shouted, thank you, God. You're awesome. The Lord has saved us. The Lord has delivered us. The Lord has helped us, and the Lord is strengthening us even today. And if I have to, I will remind you to show you that we need to be more gracious and express our gratitude to God for these times. Yeah, I will laugh and I will shout, but I don't do it in public that often. I'll crack a smile and I might whisper or say to my friend, wow, God is great. Psalm 130, verse 12 says, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever! Exclamation point. I give God thanks for you, in expectation of God's continuing work in you and through you. When I think of Versailles Baptist Church, my heart is full of thanksgiving. Psalm 126, verse 3 says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. And I wish that this statement would have come earlier in Psalm 126, because we read in Psalm 126, 2, that the Gentiles said that the Lord has done great things for them. The nations, the unbelievers, the Gentiles acknowledged the great things that the Lord
has done before the people of God in this sequence. And that seems out of place. The truth is, sometimes as Christians, we fail to see what the world sees, that God is good to us. And we don't have to be sorry that the Lord is good to us. We need to be thankful that the Lord is good to us. We don't need to be blind to God's goodness. We need to have eyes that are open to see the goodness of God. And we have to remember often the great things that God has brought to our lives. Make sure you know that it is the Lord who has brought and who is bringing the good things to your life. And see to it that you realize that God is for you and not against you. I know Joel Osteen uses that a lot, but it's biblical. God is for you and not against you. The last three verses of Psalm 126 say, "Restore our fortunes, restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting, and he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." The author of Psalm 126 knew about the land in which he was living. And the streams in the south refer to the streams, the Negev River region. And the Negev River region could get very, very dry. And what the psalmist was saying is, "Lord, you have brought water to our dry region before. Please do it again. Lord, you have brought blessings to us before. Please do it again." You see, restoration after restoration after restoration is what the Lord delivered to Israel. And what I'm asking is that God will deliver to you greater ability to serve, greater faith, greater love for your neighbors here in Versailles. You see, when we ask for these things, God will freely give. So we want to serve people in our town. We want to serve them, and we want our faith to grow, and we want our love for our neighbors to grow as well. And that's a tough thing to ask, especially now, because I think America is more divided now than it has been in many, many years. But the one who has restored us in the past is able to restore us again and again and again. God is able to do this completely. God is able to restore us even suddenly and surprisingly. God can restore streams in the desert, is what Psalm 126 tells us. And my prayer for Versailles Baptist Church is that the Lord brings floods to you, floods of restoration, floods of greater service to your neighbor, floods of greater faith in your life, floods of greater love for your neighbors. And my prayer is that you will in turn shout with joy as you trust in his presence, as you seek his will, as you serve him daily. According to Psalm 126, verse 6, you may go out with weeping, but with God, you can come home rejoicing, bringing folks along with you who would never have known of the love and the salvation of Jesus Christ. So, Versailles Baptist Church, you are in my prayers. And I pray that you make Christ the head of this congregation, that you pull together and that you increase the unity of the body of Christ. And as you do, you will grow in the grace of God until we see each other again. Thank you. Let's pray. today, Lord Jesus. We are grateful to be your people. We are grateful for the ways in which you have come into our lives, given us life everlasting and full. Lord, we are grateful for the way that you have made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for your own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies because you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Yes, Lord, once we were not a people, but now we are your people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Lord, I pray this morning that Vercells Baptist Church will honor you, will love you, will love the people here in Vercells in ways that they have done historically. I am so grateful for their impact upon my wife, who has impacted my life in ways that I can't imagine or begin to explain. But Father, I know these people are good people, and I pray your blessing upon them today. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. And today, I'm going to offer an invitation. If you have never trusted in Jesus for your salvation, do so today. Do so today. This church will be the kind of congregation that offers you the ability to learn and to grow in grace and to serve God in ways that you've never imagined. And in serving God is when you really begin to experience that amazing grace. So I want to invite you, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, do so today. Many of you have already done so, and I just pray that you will look at the people on your left, on your right, before you and behind you, and be grateful for them today as we serve Christ together. Let's stand and sing. Come as we sing. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the Word of God this morning. I am praying for Pastor Mike. You know, I don't know if you know this, but Pastor Mike is from Tennessee. You probably do know that, don't you? But we have a lot in common, and I really love your pastor, and I love you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach and to worship with you this morning. I hope we can see each other again very soon. Junior, would you lead us in prayer as we go?